That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Going a little bit more in depth on one of our top stories, NOAA hurricane hunter Richard Henning is flying in the eye of Hurricane Dorian. He joins Fox News and talks about why the storm pretty much came to a standstill over the Bahamas and created all the damage that it did.
Well, it's lost all of its steering currents. It basically has nothing to push it along right now. The forecast from the Hurricane Center is that those currents will pick up over the next 24 hours, and it will begin a very slow trek towards the north-northwest, hopefully staying about 60 miles or so off the coast of Florida. But everybody in its path, everybody along the coast of Florida from Cape Canaveral all the way up to the South Carolina and Georgia borders really need to pay very close attention to the storm.
As far as why Henning does what he does, he says,
well, I've been flying hurricanes for 24 years. As a meteorologist, it's about the best job in the world, to be honest with you. It's important. It's the only way to get this kind of detailed information. Satellites are wonderful. Computer models are wonderful. But to get the very best, most detailed data, most accurate data about the inside of the storm, you have to fly aircraft into it.
For more news, you can always find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Did you know that one in five people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good afternoon. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan with here at the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. The name of the program today is, and we're on every Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4, it's Teachable Moments in Business. And today I have a guest coming who's not here yet, Natalie Kitts, and she's from Foundations for Function. She'll be here shortly. But in the meantime, people say, why do you do what you do? I have a real thing about business owners being successful, but I know that a lot of them don't know what they don't know. So this program, Teachable Moments in Business, is all about giving people tips and information, ideas, strategies that they can use to be successful in their business. And that information comes through as a result of the kind of Q&A that we work through with our guests. So whenever you listen to one of our programs, I hope that you will listen with the paper and pencil in hand, because there will be ideas that you can use. It makes no difference what business you're in. It's all about picking up ideas that you can manipulate and modify to meet your own specific needs for your business. This is whether you're the owner of the business, the manager of it, an employee in a business. It makes no difference. The fact is that you have an opportunity to learn and to implement what you've learned here from this program. So before we get into our interview, and she's not here yet, I'd like to take a look at the weather. And it turns out that today is sunny, as many of you may know, living here in New Jersey. And by the way, it's September 3rd, Tuesday, September 3rd, 2019. We're looking at a high of 84 degrees today with winds light and variable. This evening, there'll be a few passing clouds, a low of about 62 degrees Fahrenheit, and winds are light and variable. Now, tomorrow, Wednesday, the weather will become partly cloudy with the potential of afternoon showers or thunderstorms, and I'm just wondering if that has to do anything to do with the possible approach of the hurricane that's going on down in Florida right now. But with afternoon showers and or thunderstorms, with a high of 87 degrees and winds southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. So there's a chance of rain of about 50%. Wednesday night, there'll be a few clouds, a stray shower here and there, thunderstorms with a low of about 59 degrees. So obviously, weather's variable, but this is what I'm getting so far for this area. So before she gets here, I just wanted to share with you a little bit about our guest, so that because we'll be a little short of time when she gets here. Her name's Natalie Kitts. She's the founder of Foundations for Function, which is an organization that utilizes established techniques in clinical therapy for helping families and their children to be successful. And a lot of kids have trouble with social or activities or leisure activities or just problems in school. And their programs are quite varied. Having read her website, I found that there's a lot that the organization offers for their children. So she's here right now. I'm going to go on to a message from one of our sponsors, and I'll be back.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
So welcome to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. I'm here every Tuesday afternoon from the hours of 3 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And today I have a guest, Natalie Kitts, who's the founder and owner of Foundations for Function, which is so welcome.
Hi.
Say hi again and sit forward so we can hear you on the microphone.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
That's much better. I can't hear myself. These microphones are sometimes they're not pointed in the right direction, and they get a little messed up a little. So here we go. So welcome here to our to the 100 in Internet. It's actually a video podcast. This show is now being broadcast live on Facebook. And there people can find it. In fact, you'll get a link for this. And by the way, anyone who comes in for an interview can use the file and download it and use it in their marketing, because marketing's all, this is what it's all about. You have to tell people who you are and what you do and give them reasons to do business with you. So that's one reason why you're here, Natalie, I think.
It is. Okay. That's a reason to share. Yep.
Yeah. So, so welcome to Teachable Moments. And, I read your website, and it looked really interesting. And let's get started. Can you share with us, you know, who you are, what you're all about, and then get into what the business does?
Sure. Okay.
Sit forward so I can hear you better.
All right. I'm an occupational therapist.
Okay.
And that already always throws everybody, because everybody says, "What is occupational therapy?" So can I start there?
Absolutely.
Okay. So occupational therapy it's something when I learned about it, I was like, wow, this is where it's at. Mm-hmm. Like it was one of those passionate things that, you know, it made me understand, what I really wanted to do. So the field of occupational therapy helps not only children, but really it's through the lifespan. Mm-hmm. What we do is we help, no matter, you know, what age and stage you're at, to develop skills that are needed to be independent. So occupations, as most people think, are our jobs. But really, if we think about our day-to-day activities, anything we do is an occupation, right? So the way that, you know, I get up in the morning and, you know, I go and make my coffee, just the process of doing that is my occupation. And if something got in the way of me doing that, because it's important to me to make my coffee and get my coffee to get my day started, and then if all of a sudden something gets in the way of that, you know, my occupation has now been blocked, right? So then when we look at this through the lifespan, you know, there's all kinds of reasons why things get blocked. And specifically, I've found for children who don't always have a clear voice, and that's where I became very passionate about finding out, like, wait a minute, these kids, sometimes these really big things get in the way of them not being able to get dressed and get down and out the door, you know, and I'm sure a lot of families dealt with this morning, getting everybody ready for school, and, you know, like, the parents were like, well, you know, why can't he get out the door on time? You know, we got him in the car, and, you know, he had his shoes on the wrong feet, and he didn't have his backpack, and his jacket was left on the stairs where I told him three times, grab your jacket. So it's these small things that, you know, we get frustrated as parents and families trying to address these. You know, we don't even realize they're problems sometimes. We're just thinking, why can't they just do these things they have to do?
Yeah.
So it's an occupational therapist can kind of help get to the root of that.
That's interesting. Although it's not exactly what you deal with, but I have an older son who, when he was young, when he was in elementary and middle school, I had trouble getting him out of bed in the morning. And because I teach selling skills, I learned early on that it's important to let people make decisions. So I used to say to him, you need to get up. Would you rather have breakfast first or would you rather get dressed first?
And
so it's really minimizing the major decision of getting up and giving him a lesser, you know, decision. And either way, he's getting up.
Right.
You know.
Right. And the funny
and
thing
that worked.
Yeah. And the funny thing is what you cued into is the next step of what we do as occupational therapists is we find out, you know, how to help somebody be independent.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, you could have said, well, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this, but you're not giving him the opportunity to be independent.
Exactly.
But by giving him a choice,
yeah,
you know, you said, oh, you know, you've got this. This ball is in your court.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know, he had control over. Of course, he didn't, like you said, he didn't have control over everything. He had to go to school.
He had to go to school.
Right.
But, I've learned that in, you know, in selling skills, and this is what I do with people. You know, would you rather buy two of these or two of that, or would you like it in red or blue? And that way, because there's Jeffrey Gittimer is a favorite author of mine who has written many books on selling and marketing skills, and he talks about the fact that people don't like to be sold. They like to buy. They don't like to be sold. So it's really the same difference.
And children, they're exactly
same
way.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
Right.
So you've been working in this field, I assume, for a while?
So I actually got into it. I have a 26-year-old son who was diagnosed with Asperger's when he was 8. But prior to that, he had a lot of regulation issues, right? So he was really quite the mess from early on. So he had gone in and had early intervention. So early intervention is what's in our system is we support parents 0 to 3 or children 0 to 3 and developing whatever. So that sometimes they have a diagnosis, sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
26 years ago, when he was in it, you know, he didn't have a diagnosis, but there was clearly some delays. So what happened was they really taught me how to see the world through a different lens. And one of the best people on my team was between the speech therapist and then the occupational therapist. And by the time he turned 3, he didn't qualify for services at that point in time, but I was able to carry on some of those skills that I learned from watching and working with the therapists. And I really helped him get through a lot of his challenges. And then once he got a little bit older, I decided, you know what, I'm going to redirect my world and see how I can help, you know, others.
Yeah.
So it really did start very, very personally for me. You know, we had a lot of battles. We had a lot of battles with the schools. It wasn't until about, I think he was in third grade when I learned I really was the director of his programs. And I was the professional. even though I was just his mom, but, you know, I was a professional mom, and I sat at the table when I went to the child study team meetings, and I thought to myself, wow, you guys are all in on this game, and I'm supposed to be a team member, but I really don't know what I know, yeah. Right? So then I started, you know, becoming more and more in charge of his programs, and in that process, I really learned how to understand kids, and then I took that into the field to become an occupational therapist.
That's interesting. So many businesses start from a passionate situation that people are in. I work in the pet industry, and people love animals, and that sometimes is the beginning of a retail store or manufacturing a product, but. People that come from that point of passion and firsthand experience can provide so many services and understanding for the people that they end up serving.
Right.
So it's good that you've had that background, and I'm sure it's now you obviously used it to start your business.
Right.
So when did that all evolve?
So I've been working as an independent contractor in the field for 7 years mm-hmm. now. I work partially in a school as an independent contractor, so I'm not actually a school. I guess I'm employed by the school, but I'm not a school employee.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also work as an independent contractor at a clinic in Morristown. So those are the places where I've kind of gotten my roots, and it's been interesting because they're really anybody who's in that knows that they're like two sides of the same coin. Like when you're working in a school, it's a very different thing than when you're working in a private practice. And I realized that there was a lot of holes. So in the school, you know, we can do so much, mm-hmm. and being part of a child study team, I find it very empowering to work on the parents' side and to really, you know, to sit down at that table like I did as my own,
right.
with my own son, but now advocating for these other children and these other families because I know, because I've been there.
Exactly.
And that's not always the case with, and everybody else is very, very knowledgeable and they're super awesome to be on the same team with. But I still have that heart of a mom, and I can't, you know, that doesn't come out of the things that I do when mm-hmm. I'm sitting at that table. And then when I, you know, when I leave the school, I go to the clinic, and at the clinic, I'm able to work really closely with the families and do more direct coaching. And that's where I see really a lot of the difference that I can make. But that being said, I felt like there was a hole between what I'm doing at the clinic and what's happening in the school. And that's where I developed the model that I use for my business. And if you notice, it's a three-tier model, and it's similar to a model that they do use in a public school system where it depends on the level of intervention a child needs. But our ideal goal is to get the least amount of intervention to get the most amount of growth. So in other words, everybody doesn't need direct therapy services. You know, 1 hour of individual therapy services, which often isn't covered by insurance, can mm-hmm. be really expensive. So what my goal is to start to train families to really understand, to have that lens, like I was taught, you know, back when my son was, you know, was in the program, that, you know, they can start taking some of this home. But also, you know, to have programs that, you know, it's a little bit, it's not quite you're on your own, mom, and it's not quite I've got this as the therapist, but something in the middle where, you know, we can start practicing some of these skills and doing small groups and really, you know, kind of what they call, like, just integrating things, you know, right. saying, okay, I've got some skills, but give me a safe place to practice them and with the right people to coach and support me as I grow. Because ultimately, we want them, you know, all kids, to be independent, right? That's
exactly.
You know, goes
yeah.
full circle back to that, you know, I'm an occupational mm-hmm. therapist. I want you to learn how to be independent, but it's not always that easy for everybody.
Yeah. You know, today you hear so many issues that children are dealing with, the families and children. In addition to Asperger's, you have kids that have who are autistic. You have kids with ADD, ADHD. Are these areas that you support families in?
Absolutely. And what we're finding is what I call them and the dysregulation, right? So we have a lot of regulation challenges. And regulation is really developed through the processes that typical children go through, right? And I give the example of a child who has attention deficit disorder, right? And he has a really hard time as a toddler paying attention to the world around him, right? Because mm-hmm. he's just always kind of bouncing from one thing to another and can't stay on task, and he's distracted by everything. And that same child, you know, 3 years later is going off to kindergarten, and they haven't quite learned cause and effect, right? Something basic like, you know, when I, you know, pull the two ends of the pencil really hard, it's going to break, right? And then they're getting into trouble for doing these things often, right, where they just haven't put some of those pieces together. So when I do work with, you know, all kids, but when kids have self-regulation issues, the first thing that I want to know is where's the root problem, right? We always look at the surface issues, and they're always easy to identify, mm-hmm. right? You know, he keeps pushing people, or he's biting people, or he's, you know, we look at that surface issue, and then we say, okay, well, that's it. You know, we put a behavior plan in place, and we say, if you keep doing this, you know, you're going to, you know, get this, or you're going to lose this, or, you know, and we try to motivate the kids to do what we want them to do. And for some kids, that's all they need, right? They just need that motivator, and they're like, oh, okay, right, I'm not gonna bite him this time because I don't want to lose my dessert, right? Yeah. So they start putting two and two together. But for some kids, they're really, what's happening is they're lacking skills. Yeah. And the skills that are lacking are the ones that we as OTs start to identifying, and we're like, you know what? He's not able to communicate to somebody. Like, everybody says, use your words, use your words. Yeah. And when he gets overwhelmed and frustrated, he may not even be able to find that he has words, or he may not be able to predict what's going to happen, right? So if the world is unpredictable, for some of these kids, they're in this state of, I don't know what's going to happen next, so I'm in an emergency mode, and they're just responding, like, yeah. you know, in this automatic response. So we do a lot of this, like, let's go deeper, let's go far below the surface and not just address that surface issue.
That's interesting. My older son that I referenced, I'm not telling tales out of school. He still professes to have ADD.
Okay.
And when he was in high school, actually he went to several child study teams, elementary, middle school, and high school. And in high school, they all told me that he's fine. The whole child studies and the learning child study gentleman said, "Oh, he's very good with me." And I said, "Yeah, I finally learned what ADD was all about." But it wasn't until he was in high school. I was sitting in the school psychologist's office, killing time where they were interviewing him, and I pulled out a book from her bookshelf, which was entitled, it gives me chills when I think about it every time, it's called When Acting Out Isn't Acting. And it was about ADD, and it just, I thought, holy mackerel, this is what he has. And I started learning about ADD, and here the learning educator said, well, he's fine with me. Well, yeah, because they're fine sometimes one-on-one with people, not in groups.
Absolutely.
And I actually had to begin educating the teachers, even though the book was on their shelves. You know, these are the consultants at the school. The fact that you are hired as an independent contractor to help the school, the child study teams, I think is awesome. I didn't have that advantage, and he actually fell through cracks in a high school system that wasn't prepared to deal with somebody like him. I finally had to explain to teachers information that they needed to know about dealing with them. But by that time, he quit high school. He fell through those cracks.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that having someone like you working with a child study team really can prevent that from happening, that indeed they can be more successful early on because as early intervention
right.
in the school, the district. I didn't have that advantage.
Right.
And to this day, it's still an issue.
It
still faces problems.
And that's exactly, and I have, I mean, I work with young adults who are going to college who mm-hmm. have issues that were really kind of, and when I talk about independence, you know, and what you said as a mom when your child was in, you know, he wouldn't get out of bed. Like, those skills really don't come naturally sometimes to us parents to mm-hmm. say, you know what, I'm not going to just tell them what to do, but I'm going to help them start to think and problem solve and figure out what to do. Right, because we're so focused on the end product, right? We want them to, you know, get a good paying job. We want them to move out of our house, right? Yeah. We're focused on the end product. Sometimes we miss what that person needs right here and now, and they really need to start early on. They need to start to figure out, well, what are my choices? And what can I do? And what is each choice going to look like? And can I make the wrong choice? Like, can we as parents say, okay, you know what? There's a rubber ball and a glass ball, right? If you've ever heard that. But this one's a rubber ball, right? Yeah. So, like, if I drop this, okay, so if he goes to school and he wears shorts and it's 32 degrees, you know what? He's probably going to come home and say, tomorrow I think I'm going to wear pants, Mom. You know? Yeah. So that's one of those rubber balls, you know? Yeah. So are we going to let him ride his skateboard across the street when he doesn't know how to look? No. You know, that's a glass ball, and that's one that we have to, you know, keep our hold of. But there are a lot of things where we have to say, take our hands off and say, you know what? If you're fighting me about studying for this test tomorrow, and, you know, I've tried to convince you, and I've gone in every way backwards, and I've said, you know what, I really think it's important for you to do well on this test, and you've told me, absolutely, I'll do fine, and I kind of lay it all out, so I'm not the one to blame at the end of it, but really you're going to be able to see on your own the consequence or the results of your decision, right? And if you've made this decision and you've kind of geared them to saying, okay, well, you know what, I really think you should study, but if this is what you're going to do, I wonder what's going to happen, mm-hmm. you know, if you don't do well on this test, how are you going to feel? And you kind of lay out the cards and then really work hard to keep your hands off and not go to the I told you so's, but go to the skill building. Like, wow, you know, maybe next time I could help you get more organized so you don't feel so overwhelmed when it's time to study, right? Instead of saying, because it's not, I don't want to study. It's, you know what, I can't, you know, I don't even know how to approach that, or this is too much for me, right? It's always more than what we see on the surface.
Well, that's a couple of things that come to mind. First of all, I have a daughter-in-law who specializes in autism, and she teaches a class that has, I think last year she had 4 children. I think this year might be 5, each of whom has an aide with the children. But she and my son, they have 3 young children. And I understand how she works in the classroom because she's using the skills with their children, mm-hmm. and a 6-year-old, 4, and a 2-year-old, but using your words, I've heard her say that many times because they're learning to talk as they were learning to speak. And but having, not everybody has that kind of training to even know what to say to their child. I certainly didn't.
Right.
You know? So I had to kind of learn as I went along. The other thing that I wanted to mention too is that in my selling classes, we talk about if people don't have reasons to do something, they won't. And so if they are reluctant to do something, usually they're afraid of something, or there's something that we haven't identified. So, and I've said this to my older son recently. He's got some issues, and I'll say, is it, do you have a need behind the need or a concern behind the concern? I said, you have to really begin to look inward to see mm-hmm. what's holding you back.
Right.
And I think a lot of us don't go through that exercise and identify. Now, hopefully he'll begin to realize that he has to be introspective to figure some of these things out with some support that he's getting.
Right.
But it's interesting it's an interesting process, and it's difficult.
It is
for
difficult.
A parent. It really is. So I've been there, and I understand. So before we go any further, I have some messages from our sponsors, and I'll be back.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. This program is live on Facebook. It's also going to be in the archive for this for my program series on the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce website. So while it's being filmed and recorded, it's also available live on the website. And then later on, if you'd like to listen to it, you can download the files. Please give them to people. There's information here today that we're sharing that is really very important for so many families today. Because I think, Natalie, I think more and more children are being identified as having issues that they need to deal with. I don't know whether it's in the water or maybe they were there and we didn't know it.
So there's a lot of actual real reasons why we're seeing some of these challenges. You know, one of the things that we learn about the world, so one of my specialty areas is sensory integration. So I've done a lot of studying on how our bodies take in sensory information and then process it for an outcome. Mm-hmm. Right? And so we really take in everything from the world around us through our senses. You know, we figure out, like, I see something and I, you know, if it's shiny or if it's moving, I'll turn towards it. If I hear something, you know, it automatically alerts me. So right. My senses are super important for me understanding the world around me. Mm-hmm. And it really starts with the internal senses of where my body is in space. And when we look back to years and years and years ago, we used our bodies really from early on much mm-hmm. more than we do now. Even the, you know, and I don't know if you've ever heard the term bucket babies, but we keep our children in car seats, which is super important because it's for safety right. issues. However, the difference between, you know, now we keep the babies in the car seats while they're in the car, and then when they're out of the car, we just, you know, it's so super easy to pick up the car seat and move
true.
It from one thing to
Bucket
another.
Babies.
But when a child is being held opposed to being in a car seat, they have to respond to when mom is bending, their muscles automatically activate, they're turning their head. They have freedom to turn their head all the way from one side to another.
Yeah.
If they hear something, they can explore it. When they're in a car seat or in a container of any sort, they're really their body is being supported, so therefore they don't need to do it. They're not actively engaged in the world as much as they would be if they were had that freedom. And it really even goes back to, you know, the tummy time. And, you know, a lot of times, like, our doctors will tell us things and we'll hear things, but we don't really understand why. And that's where, like, that really is, like, my passion is, let's figure out the why. Like, why is tummy time so important? And it really is. It's activating the front muscles and the back muscles right. and being able to lift my head and turn it from side to side. And it's getting that input into the sensory system while I'm on my belly. It's, you know, so and it's there's so many other things that are happening within our bodies as we start moving. So as we think about it, and, you know, like, I remember my sister had one of those bumbo seats, I think they're
yeah.
called, right? And we as parents are like, this is so awesome! I can put my child
right.
here, and they can sit in it, and now they're upright. And but you know, and that's wonderful, and for a time, but then
yeah.
we have to recognize that we need to pay attention to, you know, when is my child not fully using their muscles and their body and getting that input and being able to react to the world around them so that these pieces can all come together to be a really good functional sensory system.
Yeah. You know, that as you're talking about this, I'm thinking, first of all, you have helicopter parents, so they're overseeing everything their children do. There are a lot of those out there. When I grew up, I would get on my bicycle and ride a mile to go visit a friend and come back, and my mother used to say, "We'll just be home by dinner time."
Right.
Now today as a parent, of course, safety and security in our society is a concern. But times have changed so much. I can remember I saw being in the playground at school, and they had the swings with the real high chains. The kids would try to swing as far as they could go, and then they'd jump off.
Right.
Now today, they wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah.
There are just things that kids don't do today.
Well, and all of those things are where our executive function skills are developed, right? So executive function skills are really, like, these are the thinking skills that we need to be independent.
Yeah.
And in order to get those thinking skills, we need to practice things, and we need to make mistakes,
right.
And we need to kind of problem solve on the playground, right? And that's,
yeah.
I mean, really it starts with play. And, in fact, I believe it was last year, it was either in 2019 or 2018, the American Pediatric Association came out with a statement that they are encouraged to tell parents, and what they call it is a prescription to play. And what pediatricians now are doing is they're prescribing play to families. They're saying your children need more play because they've recognized the value and what happens when children have that free play or that parallel play or that time that's just, it seems like, okay, it's just, they're relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
But for children, that is when they learn everything.
That's
and
right.
It has to happen. And because our lives are so structured or that we have so much device time
right.
now, right? Everybody has their devices, and they
yes.
are, you know, and you know, they're brilliant, and they're learning things, and they've got so much information. But we need a balance, and what sometimes when we lose that balance, and some kids are more prone to being resilient and are okay with the, you know, being on their devices all the time, and then they get off. But some of our other kids just they're missing some of those underlying skills,
right.
and they're kind of burying themselves into the devices because this is where it's safe for them and this is where they can be successful. And we need to recognize that so we can help them and say, you know what, that I think that he's spending so much time on this device because the other things are hard for him. Like, you know, going on a bicycle is hard for him or playing at the playground is difficult and he can't figure out the timing of communication
yeah.
or how to interact in a group, right? So all of that is you know, some of the issues we're seeing, but there's absolutely underlying things.
That's interesting. Well, I have my one son has a little boy is 4, and then my other son has the 3 children. They all have toys available to them. And there was a time I thought, gee, they have almost too many, but I noticed when I'm spending time with them, they're playing with everything, and the imagination that I see them expressing is amazing.
That's awesome.
I mean, I was taking care of a couple of the 3 kids one time a couple weeks ago, and the middle one said he said he wanted to fly an airplane. I said okay. So we sat on the sofa, and he put his arms out, and he was the pilot, and I was the pilot, and I said okay, we're going to take off now. Close the door, buckle up, and I said look at the clouds up here, and he's looking up, and I said look down, and you'll see the trees, but. I mean, the imagination was incredible.
Right.
And it's so much fun as a parent or a grandparent to be able to go through this imagination trip.
Right.
Experience that you have with the kids. But I think today parents sometimes, and I think I was guilty when mine were growing up because I've always worked and never stopped, but we get so busy that we don't realize that we need to spend this productive time with our kids, a quality time.
And that there's a value in it.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, being able to say, okay, well, if I want my child to, you know, go to college after high school, that, you know, I need to play in the pretend kitchen and cook a pretend meal. Like, it's hard to make that connection
yeah.
of, you know, so many parents are like, well, I want him to be, you know, be successful, so let's start doing the flashcards, right? Or let's learn writing. And in fact, that's one of the things that it's really, when our schools aren't developmentally appropriate, and I don't mean that in a negative way,
mm-hmm.
but when there's a disconnect between the education and the cognitive and motor development, mm-hmm. right? So motorically, most children, in fact, it's typical for a child not to develop a handedness until about the age of six. However, because kids have to be writing way before the age of six based on our education, that we start pushing that earlier on. So the fact that we jump through these, you know, we're like, okay, let's jump to the next thing, but then we're not really making every piece fully. So, and I'm going back to the handwriting, kids need to have, you know, these muscles developed in their hands way before they should pick up a pencil, right? So I'll have, you know, three-year-olds, four-year-olds coming in to me, especially in school, and the teachers are like, well, they're not holding their pencil right. And I'm like, they need to crawl, because when they crawl, they're leaning on their hands and they're developing those muscles. Yeah. They need to grasp things and swing. Those are the things that they actually need in place before they start writing and before they, you know, start coloring or any of those things that should that come way before that. So, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with our education system, but I am saying that we need to recognize as families, you know, and the people who are advocating for our children, that we need to go through a sequence of things. And everything is super important, and it all starts with play, and that play is, it's very valuable.
Well, this is really interesting. I would like to ask you, we still have time left. Sometimes at the end I want to cram a whole lot of things in. In fact, you're going to have to come back sometime, because this is fascinating. From a business standpoint, you're looking not only to serve school districts and their child study teams, but also to have private clients. Do you find that you're able to, by reaching out into the community through channels and through connections, that you're able to attract private clients to come to your business?
So there's a need, and there's no shortage of a need because of all the things that I had talked about, right? So a lot of the schools, what happens is everybody takes the behavioral approach first, right? They're, you know, let's motivate the child. Let's put something that's in front of them and drive them to be, and let's, you know, try to see if we can motivate them into doing the things we want them to do. But unfortunately, you know, when we've tried and tried and tried and there hasn't been success, then, you know, people start getting a little bit more desperate. Like, we need help, right? We need a team. We need somebody who really can break this down. And, you know, going to a pediatrician, often the pediatrician, you know, will guide you to different professions, right? And that's where, you know, the occupational therapy, we are, you know, a medical profession, and, you know, we are usually covered by out-of-network insurance. So there is, you know, a certain amount of support and understanding. I mean, we're based in science. Is it hard to find clients? Not necessarily. I don't know that everybody understands what occupational therapy is. So, again, I think often people are looking at that behavior like, I need a behaviorist in here because my child is throwing things every time I, you know, ask him to eat, right? And they want the behavior to go away. And it's not until, you know, they've really exhausted that and they're like, okay, we need somebody else on our team.
Right.
And often it's a reference, a referral from a referral to a referral. And they're like, wow, you know, I saw an occupational therapist and they really helped me understand, you know, what's going on with him. And we work on, there's a program called the Zones of Regulation, and it helps children start to understand, you know, what it takes to regulate themselves. And it's a process, and it's not actually typical for a child to be able to regulate themselves until after seven. So we expect things that are higher than what they have the skills for before that, which is fine. I mean, I think that, you know, we should have high expectations. Again, when it works and it's great.
Right.
But when it doesn't work, we have to go back and say, you know what, this might not be developmentally appropriate for him, and maybe he can't self-regulate yet, and maybe he really still needs to be in this co-regulated relationship where, you know, I'm helping him, like when he's screaming and throwing things, instead of me saying, you know, that's it, you've, you know, thrown one more thing, you're, you know, out of here, you've lost this. instead to align with him, align with that child at that time and say, you know, what can I do to support you? Mm-hmm. You know, what can I do? Can I give you a hug? How can I help you through this? This is really hard, right? And sometimes understand getting to that child's level and getting through their eyes, then we start to see, oh, you know what? It's really just too much. The challenge is way more than he can cope with at this time.
So you've talked about pediatricians, and I'm always looking for referral agents or what you might call key opinion leaders, people that have a position in the marketplace or in the world somewhere that may be able to refer business to you. I'm also looking for people that with whom you might collaborate to help a client. So in addition to the pediatricians, are there other professionals that you've been able to connect connect with that will help you get to the people that need your help?
Sure, absolutely. So psychologists and speech therapists, often, you know, we work hand in hand, and as well as physical therapists. So, you know, an occupational therapist is going to understand a lot of the little bits and pieces, but if there's really like a mental health challenge, you know, we're going to refer out to a psychologist.
Yeah.
And same thing, if a psychologist is working with somebody and saying, you know what, I think there's a body awareness thing or an interoception where, you know, they don't really understand the signals that are coming on in their body and that's what's causing their anxiety, they're going to refer to us. A speech therapist, often it's funny because we'll have some co-treats in the school with the speech therapist, and the speech therapist will be like, I never heard him talk so much, because once they're using their bodies, you know, all of a sudden their communication, and it's meaningful, right? It's not just I'm sitting at a table and I'm saying, you know, playing games is good, but, you know, if I'm pointing to pictures and saying, okay, well, what is this? It can get a little boring, right? But then once the child starts moving around and they're playing and they're really active, then all of a sudden their words are, you know, flowing a little bit more. And there's also a body piece that, you know, I need to feel myself moving, and then I'm going to connect all of these, my mind and my brain and my words, and it's all going to come together, and it's going to, you know, be meaningful. So I think the team approach is the best approach.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that there's ever, you know, one person who's going to, and it's the behaviorists. I mean, they're going to be the ones who say, you know what, be understanding the structure that needs to be in place to be able to support a child, right? Because some children need more structure than others.
Right. They would. You know, it's funny. Last year, my daughter-in-law told me about a young boy who was put into her class who wouldn't talk to anybody. She had him maybe for a week or so, and he started talking up a storm. But it's just the way that she's been trained and has had experience in dealing with people with autism, and she was able to bring him out.
Right.
What a thrill for her, for the child, and for the parents. I mean, it's just amazing.
And that says a lot about what was the just right experience for him, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes it's not the child, but it's the environment, or it's the, you know, it could be, you know, some of the people around, or it could be too busy. But when you have that just right challenge, then the child can grow, and you'll see their skills really flourish and emerge.
We're coming down to the wire here, but I did want to ask you, I had mentioned to you before you came in today that sometimes I'll ask about a description of a case study, and since your son, I was wondering if we could put him in the case study category, so to speak. Can you share with us how old he is now and how he's progressing?
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's funny because his case study is one that I've shared on multiple occasions because it's just an experience that was surprising, right? So he was very, very colicky early on, and then by the time he was two, you know, he was throwing tantrums probably 8 hours a day sometimes. I mean, it was like 6 good hours of, you know, like battling, and, you know, I mean, some days it was bad. So by the time he got to school, they really regulated him a lot, right? Mm-hmm. There was a lot of rules in place, and, you know, and he was able to hold it together the best that he could. But he still didn't grow and flourish, and there were still these gaps. And they didn't see them as much because, again, it was a very structured environment, so he was holding it together. By the time he was in third grade, I said earlier that that's when he got the diagnosis, because, you know, we just all knew there was something not right.
Yeah.
So he had gotten support through the school the best that he could. By the time he was in middle school, he went to he was placed in an out-of-district placement. So he was, you know, really. The school and myself had, and my husband, we had decided that, you know, this wasn't the best fit for him. They found another school, which mm-hmm. was a special ed school that he went to for a couple of years, and it really made a big difference. And after his middle school years, he decided he wanted to go to a more, you know, wanted to be with more typical kids.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to a private school, high school for children with learning disabilities, and then he graduated and went away to a four-year college.
Wow.
And got his bachelor's degree.
Good for him.
And
wow.
this year he's actually going to be, he's been working since he's gotten his bachelor's degree. He's been working as a paraprofessional, supporting other children who have autism.
Mm-hmm.
And, he, you know, he's very insightful. And I would not know anything without having gone through this experience with him. I mean, he's been very articulate in the things that he's taught me. So even though they say kids with autism or kids on the spectrum, you know, have trouble with communication, but he's been very, very clear at communicating what was going on in his world. And through default, I was required to advocate for him,
yeah,
right? So
yeah.
to kind of understand what was up in his world and how I could help him. He got supports when he was in college. He was at a university that understood it was a technical institute, so they had, if you've met anybody on the engineering in the engineering field, you could say there's probably often like a little bit of a maybe a genetic component to Asperger. On the campus he was at, I walked around and I said, you know, he fits in right really well here. But he didn't fit in really well, you know, before that
yeah.
in other places.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's just finding where the people like you are.
Yeah.
And, you know, at an Institute of Technology, there happened to be a lot of engineering students, a lot of geeky type
yeah.
kids.
Yeah.
But it was a good fit for him. So, and then this year is his first year working full time at that school. And
good for him.
So, yeah, I mean.
Wow. You and your husband must be so thrilled that after, I know it was a lot of hard work, but it worked.
It did. Well, and the exciting part is that I've learned a lot from him, and I continue to help others now. So not, and again, working with children isn't my only passion, but it's also working with the parents and,
mm-hmm.
and helping them, you know, get their own needs met, because
yeah.
it's tough.
It's tough. I know it would be very tough. This has been a fascinating visit, and you're going to have to come back again sometime, because we're about running out of time. But so we've been meeting with Natalie Kitts, who owns Foundations for Function. So can you give us information on how to get hold of you, your phone number, what do you want to share with
sure.
your listeners?
Sure. So my website is foundationsforfunction.com, and my number should be on there, but I believe it's 908-442-2454. And if anybody wants, you know, has any questions or concerns, you know, it's probably email is the best way. So through the website, you could send me an email. And then, you know, we can talk from there. And really, you know, the first part is just helping parents get the insight. You know, so sometimes, you know, doing an evaluation or even just a screening and, you know, saying, well, you know, let's see, you know, did you try these things first? And let's really see if we can get to the root of the problem. And often understanding the root of the problem is a good place to start. And individual therapy isn't always, you know, recommended.
Right. Okay. So why don't you give us your email address so people can hear it?
Okay.
Yeah.
It would be foundations, the number four, function, at gmail.com.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you are here today, and we're going to be finishing up. I hope that you'll be able to come back again and share some more information, because this is a huge topic, I realize. And what you do is, I'm very impressed with what you're doing, and I'm sure the listeners will be. And I hope that you'll be able to capture not only the video on Facebook, but also the audio. And you can use those become marketing tools for you.
Okay.
And if you like the way this program has worked for you, you can share it with other people. And I'll certainly, I'm probably going to do a video, what's it called, a video party, or this afternoon or this evening, so other people will see it.
But
I've already gotten a notice that people have heard that we're doing this program today.
Oh,
so
exciting.
So I hope you'll come back.
Well, I would love, to be able to really reach out and help people, kind of support through the path, right? It's not like we're all trailblazers here, right?
That's right. So my guest today is Natalie Kitts from Foundations for Function. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan. I hope you've enjoyed this program. Please pass it along to your friends, and come back again next week. We'll have some other programs that will help you to gain additional knowledge on and tips on functioning in your own businesses. So have a great day, and we'll be back next week.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heide and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heide and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County. Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterton is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.